This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So I'm trying to balance. Should I be a hater right now, or should I be kind of a relater? Hater versus relater is my daily battle today on a hump day, because
I feel like you got a little bit of both in you.
But in this situation, I feel like I have to pick a side. Or do I? That could be the question. Shout out to all the loopholes on the YouTube, Twitch, all that. B. Scott in for John Lopez. Hater or relate? Should we hate or relate? So I enjoyed watching the Warriors get their ass kicked yesterday. I enjoyed watching Klay Thompson wet the bed. And I'm enjoying that right now. It appears that this Warriors dynasty, which I'll just be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of, it appears to be crumbling down in front of our very eyes. And the Warriors we've known for a long time have died. They've died.
Yeah.
Now, I do have to acknowledge, though, that about 90 minutes before that result came in, I watched the Houston Astros. I watched them lose 6-2, and I actually came away somewhat encouraged, because that's how bad things are right now for the Astros. Astros' run at greatness started about a year later than the Warriors. I think the Warriors are dead, which I want to celebrate, but then I also look at this Astros, and I think it might be the same damn thing happening in front of my eyes. So maybe I should keep my eyes on my own paper, or maybe I can just hate and relate.
Yeah, I think you can do both. I feel like you can have your cake and eat it too. It's an interesting parallel, and it fits. You know, the Warriors are dead, and it feels like the Astros right now are still in a space where, you know, it's too early, guy. Is losing, like, he's losing steam.
Is he here?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him in a while. Like, he's really losing steam, and it feels like it's really time to be worried.
See, there was another thing that happened yesterday that kind of just put in perspective where I think things are with the Astros. And let me know if it's too early. I need as many it's too early guys as possible. I want to hear from y'all. I don't want to dismiss you. I want to hear from y'all. I absolutely want to hear that. But I heard Sean say that he didn't want to mention random wrestlers. I'm going to mention random wrestler. I feel like a kick to the junk Goldust style was watching the Rangers put out on their social media that tomorrow, the debut of one of the most decorated prospects the last couple of years, Jack Leiter, is going to make his pitching debut for the Texas Rangers. A lot of excitement around this. Could this guy be a top of the rotation guy? How is this guy going to look? They're getting an early look at Jack Leiter, and I'm watching Forrest Whitley run out to the bump yesterday after 7 years, 8 years of absolutely nothing. That, for me, on top of the Rangers already dethroning the Astros, that, for me, was almost like a double whammy kick in the junk.
Well, I feel like Forrest Whitley is just kind of an icing on the top, because really, like, I draw the parallels closer to what the Astros' best prospects are and were. And it used to be, not too long ago, Hunter Brown. And shout out to him for bouncing back.
Good outing yesterday by Hunter.
Yeah, shout out to him for bouncing back. But we obviously have our Hunter Brown questions, and we are not talking about him nearly in the way that they're talking about Leiter out there in Arlington. And it's the same way with the latest best pitching prospect in Spencer Arrighetti. And he bounced back, too, a couple of nights ago. But that's another one where we don't feel nearly as good about that as they do up 45. So the Forrest Whitley thing, that's been out of sight, out of mind. And then we get reminded of it in the ninth inning last night. Yeah, I'm with you. That's just though, icing on the cake, cherry on top.
He comes out there, gives up the double. Runs don't even go to him. Yeah. Gives up the hard line shot to Tucker.
And then everybody's like, oh, yeah, just it's just good for him to get his feet
wet. Gets out
of
the inning.
Dude, it's been 8 years.
Got his family out there. Shout out to them. Good for them for sticking with their son.
That's a tough situation to come into, though, for your first major league outing. I do feel for him a little bit in that from that standpoint. All
I
of the
don't.
The context aside.
He's lucky
aside,
to be here.
No, the context aside.
He's lucky to be here.
Yeah, you know, I get it. Especially when you feel like the team is dying and losing this window. I like this parallel that you drew because it does exist. Like, I thought about it during the NBA season, how sad it was, the Rockets and the Warriors. And obviously the Warriors dominated that rivalry. Before a while, the Rockets gave them a run for their money. And it came down to this year.
Paul finally beat the Warriors.
Dude, it came
down. He finally found a way to beat the Warriors.
But as a 10th seed. Like, it came down to, like, hey, man, we got a real rivalry over the damn temp seed, an opportunity to just go in and lose immediately in the play-in. Like, that's what it had come down to. That's how, like, you saw the writing on the wall even before they lost this particular game. Like, they have been dead all year. We just finally got to put an end to it with this game. Is it going to go the same way for the Astros? Are they going to even be a wild – like, are the Astros a wild card contender? I don't feel like it right now. They're obviously
– yeah, they are.
They're last.
I mean, when they get healthy, you saw all the pitchers playing catch yesterday. Come on, Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia and Framber Valdez are playing catch.
I'm gonna tell you this: I don't want to hear nothing about playing catch no more because that's how Framber Valdez apparently got hurt. Damn, playing catch! I'm like, how does that work? You ever hurt your elbow playing catch?
Or yeah,
really?
Yeah,
I mean, just playing catch.
Yeah.
Nah, dude.
Yeah.
All right,
for sure. It's too early. Thank you very much. The 832 on the text line. It's too early. We're only 3.5 out of first in the division.
There
so there you go.
There you go.
We needed that. Thank you very much. I need all the it's early that I can consume. Give it to me, please. Need it. 100% need it.
Hey,
because watching this squad, man. It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you put together an effort like that and the bats completely disappear.
Well, that's my thing. Like, I want the window to be extended as far as it possibly can. But the frustrating part about last night was it's like when one thing goes well, another one doesn't. Okay, you do get the pitching that you so desperately had thought that you needed, right? And you get scoreless, you know, six scoreless innings against their starter, right? It's like, yo, what happened?
Let's hear from this Espada fella, this manager that they hired, the substitute teacher, as I call him. Yesterday they lost, the bats kind of disappeared. Let's hear Joe Espada breaking this one down. Go take it away, Skip.
Today he pitched. He changed speeds. He kept us off balance. We just couldn't do anything. We couldn't get anything. You know, going. They pitch well, and our guys are grinding at bats. Going in the ninth inning, they're grinding, fighting till the end. You know, we almost brought Altuve the time run to the plate. We force him to use the closer, which is always a good thing. We keep getting after it.
We forced him to use their closer. We keep getting after it because he came in and got an out,
dude.
What you're happy about.
Forget the closer. I don't even want to talk about the closer. How about the starter? How about Ronaldo Lopez? And I'm going to point at you again, Dana Brown. You again, Astros brass. I don't know who's in charge of.
There's like 30 guys.
Yeah, so I'm going to give Dana Brown some slack, actually. Whoever's
in charge. You know what? At this point, with how much Jim Crane likes to trade baseball cards and get Reggie Jackson and Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio there, I think I might know where Ted Williams' frozen body is. I think he's sitting at the end of the damn table with Jim Crane in there. Didn't they freeze Ted Williams? Wasn't that like a big controversy? I think Jim Crane rolled Ted Williams' dead, frozen body in there, and he's helping make decisions, too.
I'm going to tell you what.
His baseball cards.
I'll roam around some random parts of Minute Maid Park.
I want to see Jim Crane at a TriStar show, man.
I bet that dude's coming in there with all kinds
of mini helmets and Sharpies.
If I roll up on Ted Williams, I'm telling you, I'll be freaked out. I will be freaked out, but maybe not surprised based off of how they've made decisions. And they're clearly not looking at this cat's baseball card because the back of his baseball card doesn't tell you nothing. But he cost 3 years, $30 million, and what? He's out there pitching six scoreless innings for the Atlanta Braves. He was good enough for Atlanta, a World Series contender, somebody that's won a World Series pretty recently against you. He was good enough for them.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Best owner in the history of sports, and he needs a round table trading baseball cards. I mean, give me a break. This is tough, man. This is tough. And then I got to hear this Espada fella go up there. I mean, come on, man.
I'm playing the results on this. It'd be better if it worked. Like, if it was working, I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's just so obviously and painfully silly.
Yeah, I mean, when you just take the lazy way out and you make a hire like this, if the core is still good enough, you can get the job done. If the core is still good enough, you can still get the job done. You can hire Barry Switzer and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If there's still enough left over.
Yeah. The problem is that the core is heavily weighted in the lineup right now. So it's like if you don't get, you know, seven, eight runs, you don't stand a chance. You know, it used to be with the Astros, and this is part of the dynasty. Same thing with the Warriors. For all the talk about shooting threes, they used to play defense too. Well, with the Astros, they used to hit and pitch. They can't do both. They need to be able to do both, and they can't do both right now. At least not at the same damn time.
And then you have all these people, and this is brought up on the YouTube. All these people complaining about the wave. Like, it's just the worst thing in the world.
It's lame, but I'm past complaining about it. Todd Callis lost his bleep. I don't know if you saw that. Todd Callis lost his bleep about it a couple of nights ago.
Why?
Because this
you don't even say no hitter, so I don't need to hear what you have to say about that.
But he wants the fans to be locked in the game, and if it's a close game late in the game, and you're doing the wave,
you don't want them locked in the game. You don't say no hitter.
It was two nights ago when CJ Stroud was.
You don't say no hitter. You do it because of a Twitter poll. So you know who cares what you think?
You know what the fans got the visuals.
You know what the fans should do? They should do the wave during the no hitter.
Well, I mean, they might as well. You got to deflect it, right?
Oh, I would love to see him melt down for that. That would just be hilarious.
So he's mad at the wave, but he won't say no hitter?
He wants you locked into the game. He assumes.
Okay. Well, you don't want me locked into the game.
He assumes that watching the game that you are locked in, that you are aware of what, you know, of what their euphemisms for no hitter are. They got ways around it, they say. That's what they say.
Yeah, because of a Twitter poll, right? That's what he said, because of a Twitter poll. That's a quote from him. The poll, majority rules.
Well,
Twitter's the majority.
Another quote was, if the audience doesn't want it, why would I do it?
The audience is not Twitter.
The audience is not Twitter. I do feel like that's not the best scientific way of polling your audience.
So why don't you go slap the admin while you're at it, since you're just listening to the Twitter audience? Like, why didn't Todd Callis just go up there and just, like, I don't know, like, go cuss out the Twitter admin? If we're letting that decide what you do when you call a game, why don't you just go do that?
They could do better market research, but I do understand the sentiment. Don't agree with it. Could do better market research, better than Twitter, to make such a weighty decision. I agree with that. But I understand what it's
coming from. I
just
don't get why the wave is such a big deal.
It is.
I mean, what do you want to do, eating peanuts?
Well, like...
Well, how is that more focused? You're eating peanuts and nachos and hot dogs. How's that more?
Why are we doing it? I don't get it.
I know they do it at soccer. They do it at big-time soccer games, don't they? I mean,
well, at least they be hyped. They be hyped the whole time.
Yeah, the wave. At least they're into it.
Ain't nobody hyped during the game the whole time during the baseball.
It's harmless. Harmless, but lame. A lot of lame things are. You of all people, Landry.
What? I don't understand the wave.
Get bothered by the smallest of things, though.
I do, but I think that the wave just became something where baseball hardo decided they were just going to repeat what was said. I think for myself, I don't think I don't think Todd Callis is really that upset by the wave. I think Todd Callis is a follower. I think that's why he doesn't say no hitter, because a Twitter poll told him. I think he sees on Twitter that people get mad about the wave, so now he's doing that. That's my problem. It's people getting loud at the game. Who cares? I mean, have you seen what a lot of fans are doing at baseball? Go walk around the concourse. Some of those folks aren't even watching the game, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sitting there eating.
It's a lot of people that don't
watch the game. Yeah, they're not even watching the game.
Being locked into the game is not my excuse for it. I've done the wave before and have always felt corny when I've done it. And so eventually I just stopped like doing it, and it's fine. Like, I don't say, hey, stop, don't do that around me. I just don't really participate. But I mean, I'm not been out of shape about it. Todd wants you locked into the game, though.
Okay. Well,
if you're in the when if the game is out of hand.
Yeah, what if it's, no, this game wasn't, though. That was his point. He even said that. If the game's out of hand, 12-3.
All right, let me get your wave rules, Todd.
Either way. Yeah, he's got guidelines. There are wave guidelines.
Yeah,
check the rules at the door.
This must have been a Twitter poll.
They should put up a graphic in the beginning or a sign outside the stadium to let people know. Before you walk into the ballpark, understand the wave rules. Like a run rule. A run rule for the wave. 11 runs, you can wave.
11.
8. Arbitrary number. Make up the number. But there's rules to this game here.
Damn, you don't, I didn't know it was that deep.
You don't wave in a close.
Like it's like the biggest sin in baseball.
You don't wave, Landry, in a close game.
You can't wave.
Have some doggone decorum.
It's the biggest sin in the game. Like, you're just, you might as well not even watch baseball if you're waving. Poor kids.
Act like y'all wouldn't raise right.
Got these
man.
Kids out there. You do the first wave, it's cool as a kid. We got these hardos playing baseball.
Hey, tuck your shirt in while you're at it. Pull up your pants.
I love Todd Callis. I cannot believe how mad he gets about the wave and doesn't even say no hitter. It's crazy to me.
Situational waving.
It's crazy. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The 713 says, was at last night's Astro game. They had a poll on the screen. Vote for the wave or no wave. No wave won 68% of the vote. That's not a high percentage, especially on Twitter. I mean, of course, what do you think people on Twitter are going to say? Let's wave.
I think that there's something to also maybe some people just siding with, you know, it was Callis who objected. I feel like he's kind of a likable figure out here. Maybe
very likable and very awesome at what he does. Him and Blum both.
I could see him being influential in that way. People heard him the day before and were like, hey, yeah, I'm with Todd. Stop waving. Or have some decorum.
I stand with Todd,
baby.
Hashtag I stand with Todd.
Stay in the seat. Just sit in your seat, okay?
Wave decorum.
Hey, down up front.
Hey, can you be quiet?
Hey, down up front, okay? I'm trying to watch the ball game. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been a season ticket holder for 35 years.
I was sitting in front of somebody like that, man. Dude had a notepad, and my wife, who not into the game at all, she turned around and said, hey, what you working on? And this dude was sitting there back there taking stats. He never asked her.
His scorecard. You don't even know who Mike Scott is. These young kids who are doing the wave, they don't even know who Mike Scott is. They never heard of Nolan Ryan. They don't know about 1988. Down in front. I don't need no wave here. Okay? I'm trying to watch the ball game. I'm trying to throw my peanut shells right by your feet while I keep score of the ball game. Hey, honey, hold on. I wasn't looking. I fell asleep. I had to put my dentures in. Was that 6'4" or was that 6'3" or was that 5'3"? Did he hit that to the third baseman or the shortstop? Oh, okay. 5'3", okay. Wait, it was 6? Oh, dang, I gotta mark that with a pen and keep scoring the ball game.
Why did you turn Todd Callis into Clint Sterner? I'm talking about the fans, man. I'm talking about the fans that are against the wave. The fans that are against the wave. The drunk ass chick. Oh, my God. Go, Jose Altuve. Oh, my God.
A lot of those.
He's not even playing.
A lot of those in Minute Maid.
He's not even playing, honey. He has the day off. Dubon's at second. Oh, go, Dubon. 5 innings later. Why are they doing the wave? Why aren't people paying attention to the game? Your drunk ass didn't even know Altuve wasn't playing earlier. He's trying to act like a hardo. These damn fans. Y'all got to get over this wave thing. It's one thing for me to say, because I'll get fired up about some stuff that doesn't matter. But this piling on, this copying about the wave, got to cut it out. Coming up next, the Texans secondary. Should it be more of a concern? Plus, how C.J. Stroud's alleged weakness last year has become a significant strength next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.